If God were to appear to you in a dream and ask you whatever you would like, ask me and I will give it to you. What would you ask? Wealth? Happiness? Good times? Contentment? What? Think about that for a few minutes. I want to come back to it after we consider the introduction to a subject that we want to look at for the next few weeks. And that is the subject of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. In the next few weeks, we'll be studying that. You all were very gracious to take the style preference inventory in the book of Proverbs that some of you took before the worship service. I hope that having taken that and even understanding the goal of taking that inventory, which will be evaluated in 2 months, that you will have the right perspective during these studies. And that is not merely getting things right intellectually and academically, but that you will hear and receive the Word of God and let nothing else disturb your mind from that kind of poise and attitude in the next few weeks. What you want to do is to receive what God has to say to you and me through this book of Proverbs. What a grand book it is! Intensely practical, a manual for practical godliness, Old Testament style. L. Nelson Bell, who is a great medical Presbyterian missionary to China for many, many years, also came back and was one of the co-founders of Christianity Today, the founder of the Presbyterian Journal, and also is distinguished for being the father-in-law of Billy Graham, made it his practice to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Even though he lived to be quite old, he never thought that he was so wise that he could not benefit from the practical instruction of this book. In my own experience, in the early days of my Christian life, after I was converted and started school, I got a little pocket-sized version of the book of Proverbs. And I used to carry this around with me in my shirt pocket all the time at school. And whenever an opportunity availed itself, whenever I had a few minutes before the class would begin or just sitting down, I would take this pocket version of Proverbs and I would begin to absorb and saturate my whole life in this book. It's a grand book for the new Christian. But it's a good book for the old Christian. A few years ago, a ministerial comrade and I, in prayer, came to the conclusion that we wanted to know God better. We just wanted a greater and a deeper communion with God. And so we began to rise very early in the morning, and he lived in another city, and we would share driving times, and we would meet together very early. And God led us to this book, to the book of Proverbs, in order to get into the depth of the riches that he has revealed. Getting to know God in this book is a glorious and grand adventure for you as well. This morning I want us to look at just the first verse and the first phrase of the second verse. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom Solomon immediately announces the purpose of the book of Proverbs. And that is the main thought that I want to share with you for this communion meditation. The purpose of the book of Proverbs is to impart true wisdom to the believer. It originally was my design to preach a four-part sermon today. I was going to share with you the purpose of the book of Proverbs. Then I was going to share the plan of the book of Proverbs, the persons to whom Proverbs is addressed, and then the prerequisite for understanding the fear of the Lord and the book of Proverbs. But as I began to work out that outline, it got longer and longer, and the sermon was becoming longer, and I knew, well, this is a communion meditation. I have to preach in a shorter form anyway. And so finally I divided it in two. Well, and I kept on thinking more deeply and praying, and pretty soon it was being divided again. So it was just going on and on. So what I am sharing with you this morning is the first point, the first part of a three-part sermon on getting true wisdom. Now, you might think that's kind of a long sermon, but let me tell you what one of the Puritans did one time. He preached a six-hour sermon. And those days, people had greater... I won't say patience, but they had a great desire to know the Word of God. They didn't read that much in theology, and so when they came to hear a sermon, man, they wanted to hear a sermon. You know, if it was shorter than an hour or two, then they had been shortchanged. But he preached 6 hours, 2 hours for the introduction, 2 hours for the main discourse, and then 2 hours for application. One lady came out of the sermon and was asked what she thought of it. And she said, well, he spent so much time setting the table that by the time the main course came along, I quite lost my appetite. I hope that that God would benefit you in the study of Proverbs, that you might grow in the knowledge of Christ as we look into this manual of practical godliness. The first thing, the main thing that I want to share today for communion is this, that the purpose of this book is to impart true wisdom. Have you decided yet what you would ask if God were to appear to you and say, what would you like? Well, God did appear to someone in the Old Testament, and it was to King Solomon when he was just a young king. That's recorded in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 3rd verse. In Gideon, the 5th verse. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. And then it goes on, and then in verse 9, Solomon says, so give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people? Solomon asked in a word for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. Did God give it to him? One need only to look at the following passage. Indeed, God gave him exactly what he asked for and made him the wisest man in the world at that time. His wisdom was displayed in the very next passage when two women came to Solomon trying to solve a dispute. These two women were prostitutes, and both were living in the same house, and they each had children, both boys. After a few days, one woman happened one evening to roll over on her son and smother him. and he died. And so she took up her son, and she went to the other woman, and while she was sleeping, she exchanged. And when the other prostitute waked up, she examined her son. She saw that he was dead, but she also saw, this is not my son. And so she appealed to the Supreme Court of ancient Israel, which was Solomon himself. And there they were. And Solomon said, okay, bring me a sword. And so a sword was brought, and he said, take the sword and cleave the child in two. Give one half to one mother and the other half to the other mother. And then, of course, Solomon, knowing that the real mother would never permit that kind of action, she said, oh, no, 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 let that person have this child. And Solomon said, she is the mother. Give the child to her. And then note what the last verse says in 1 Kings 3. When all Israel heard of the judgment which the king handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Solomon received the wisdom of God. The Jew asked for that wisdom of God. Solomon is qualified to instruct us, as he does in this book, in the way of wisdom. He says in verse 2, in the beginning phrase, to know wisdom, who is more qualified than the one who has asked for it and who has received it from God? Proverbs, as we said, is an intensely practical book. We have here instruction for almost every relation in life. We have instruction for the person who is slothful, the lazy individual. We have instruction for the laborer, instruction for the moneylender, instruction for fathers and for children, for youth, for wives, for business relations. All of this comprised in the wisdom of one book. It is the wisdom of Solomon. But here is an Old Testament book. It was written a long time ago, and this was for the Old Testament people of God. So what does it have to do to you and me? It is this. You see, Proverbs is the highest expression of God's revealed will in the Old Testament for His people. His people were to follow the rules and the regulations in this book. And if they did, then they were perfect. God says, be ye perfect, because I am perfect. But ancient Israel failed. The Old Testament Jew could not keep this book. You and I cannot keep God's perfect law, the regulations set down in this book, but only one person could. And who was that? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is Himself the wisdom of God. Why? Because He embodies everything that is taught in this book. Every rule, every regulation, every prerequisite, every commandment, every precept has been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect for you and for me. He is the fulfillment of this book. He is, in a word, as Paul calls him in 1 Corinthians 1:24, the wisdom of God. So we are asked to come to this book to seek God's wisdom. But how can we do that? We can't simply live by these rules on our own. We must first touch first base. We must come to Jesus Christ, who is God's wisdom. You cannot meet God's perfect law, but Jesus met it for you. And so you come to Him and you say to Him, Lord, I thank You that You were the wisdom of God for me. That you exemplified everything that was perfect in God's law. You manifested perfectly everything that was required of me. And now I accept you. I confess you as Savior, as my wisdom as well. Having started there, then you and I come to the book of Proverbs. And we say, here is the life of obedience prescribed for you and me. He has shown us how we are to live for Him in the book of Proverbs. And this is what we want to do in the weeks and in the next couple of months, to glean from this book the wisdom of God, having started with Christ, who is our wisdom, and then look at the entire content of this book as God's way of life. I hope that you are ready as a Christian to enter into the school of Proverbs in order to learn the wisdom of God. If you have never become a Christian, then this book is not yet for you. It is for the believer. It is for the one who has already met Christ. Your part is to first pass the entrance exam. That means that you must first come to Jesus Christ and confess Him as the wisdom of God, as your wisdom, as the perfect way of life that you have missed. And when you start there, then this book begins to apply in your own experience. What about you? Have you come into the light of the wisdom of God? That wisdom is displayed for us right now today at this communion table. God's wisdom says, you are perverse in your nature. You cannot meet my moral law. Therefore, I give you my Son, his body, his blood. This is my wisdom. You can come into my wisdom by coming to faith in Jesus Christ. I ask you, have you really embarked on the life of wisdom in your own experience? You can by coming to Christ at this moment and share in this table. Let us pray.